Good morning, friends. Welcome. Suffering we experience, we all experience suffering, but it is just by itself, by that category, is the greatest challenge we face in life. In fact, that is the challenge, is suffering. Many, many kinds of suffering. It can be physical, heart disease. It can be broken relationships, like in marriage, chronic pain, car accidents, financial pressures. Suffering can often send us reeling. It knocks us off our feet, and we commonly, especially in intense suffering, we commonly ask two questions. Just two. They're easy questions. The first is, why? The second is, how long? Why is this happening? Whom can I blame? And how long is this going to go on? When is it going to end? Just two easy questions, that's all. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. The Gospel of Mark will be at the end of the chapter, the very last story in that chapter. And our story today has at its center the topic of suffering. In this case, it's about blindness, physical blindness, and poverty. It's a very short passage, only seven verses we're going to cover this morning, so it should be an easy day, but let me offer you a bit of free pastoral wisdom. The length of a passage in a sermon is not necessarily equated to the length of the sermon. So who knows how long we're going to go today? Short passage, short sermon, we'll see. You may end up needing to open up your DoorDash app and order some lunch. Someone's hungry already. So on a serious note, our story in real time is just hours from the beginning of Jesus' final week in his earthly ministry, final week before his death and his resurrection. He's in Jericho. It's about 20 miles northeast of Jerusalem. He's on his way to Jerusalem for that final week. This is probably Friday before the triumphal entry, which we'll read about next week, Palm Sunday. It's probably Friday, and 2 days before then, before that Sunday, and just 7 days before he takes on the horrors of the crucifixion. So let's read our passage here together. Mark 10, verse 46. They came to Jericho. As he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many warned him to keep quiet, but he was crying out all the more, "Have mercy on me, son of David." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man and said to him, "Have courage, get up. He's calling for you." He threw off his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Then Jesus answered him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Rabboni," the blind man said to him, "I want to see." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has saved you." Immediately he could see and began to follow Jesus on the road. I've loved this story for many, many years. I'm excited we get to talk about it this morning. First, let's just take some observations here. First, a large crowd is traveling with Jesus. And my guess is it was a mixed crowd. Some people genuinely loved Jesus. They believed in him. They considered themselves his disciples, and they wanted to be with him. I would guess there are others who were along for the spectacle. Jesus did and said amazing things every day. He was at the top of the news feed and social media, if there was such a thing back then. But whatever their reasons for being there, it was a large crowd. And by and large, they seem to be supportive of him, and we'll see that a little bit more, the large crowd next week on Palm Sunday in our passage next week. But 7 days or so from this story, the following Friday, at the crucifixion, there is again a large crowd. But the spirit of that crowd was very, very different than this one. For there, the crowd was stirred up by religious leaders, and they shouted, "Crucify him!" So Jesus is popular in our story today, but he's vilified a week later. It's a remarkable turn of events. So now let's talk about Bartimaeus. We see this man, he's in great need. He's desperate. He is blind. We don't know if it's been his whole life. We don't know why, but he's impoverished. Probably can't earn a living. Had to beg for survival. And yet this broken, poor man is rich. He's rich in faith. He hears that Jesus is coming down the road, and he believes, it's implied, it's obvious, he believes Jesus can help him, and that perhaps Jesus will want to help him. And he's so desperate, so faith-filled, that he calls out for Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy." Bartimaeus somehow knows, interesting, he calls him the Son of David. And that is really a reference to Old Testament prophecies and even New Testament ones we'll look at here in a moment. It's a very telling name for Christ. Bartimaeus somehow knew that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, the descendant of King David, so therefore the Son of David. Multiple Old Testament prophecies speak of this. To David himself, about 1000 BC, a prophecy was spoken where the Lord said, "I will appoint him," that future descendant, this son, "I will appoint him over my house and my kingdom forever, and his throne will be established forever." And then in the New Testament, to Mary, Jesus' mother, an angel came and spoke this prophecy to her just before the miraculous conception. "He," thinking of this Jesus, "will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." So one of David's descendants is now the Son of David. And Bartimaeus somehow knew that, and he had simple faith to believe that Jesus was that one, this long-awaited Messiah who would rule forever. And Bartimaeus also believed that Jesus had both the power and the compassion to help him, because if he didn't believe that, why would he bother crying out? If Jesus was not powerful enough to help him, why bother him? And if Jesus really didn't care, if he didn't believe that Jesus might show some compassion for him, again, why bother? So we see the rich faith of a poor man. And we also see Bartimaeus' faith exhibited in his persistence. I love this. His shouting for mercy from Jesus was loud enough and persistent enough that the people around him got really annoyed. And they basically told him, "Shut up, dude. Just, you know, stop yelling. You're bothering us." In fact, they actually warned him. They rebuked him. Perhaps they even threatened him and said, "Shut up or else." And if I was in the crowd next to Bartimaeus, I don't know about you, but I probably would join in. "I want to see Jesus. I don't want to hear you yelling. You're distracting me. You're bothering me. You're a nobody, you're a loser, blind man, you're a poor man, you've got nothing, you're just a nobody in this society." Why would this famous, important Jesus care about you? That might be my heart. Well, Bartimaeus, being the very respectful person that he is, he shuts up, right? No, he shouts all the more. He's not going to be thwarted. No one's going to tell him to shut up. He wants help. I often, when I hear Bartimaeus, you know, he shouts all the more. It makes me think of our families, at least my family, yours might be the same, where the littlest kid, the youngest sibling, he's doing something that's annoying, shouting, and the older sibling tells him to be quiet. The younger sibling always is quiet then, right? No, they get more noisy. They get more annoying. I don't think Bartimaeus is trying to be annoying. He's just desperate for help, and he doesn't care what anyone else thinks. He's very persistent in prayer. And this, as an aside, it's highly instructive for us. Are we persistent in prayer? Are we so hungry for the help of heaven that we will not, even if someone told us to shut up, that we will not be quiet? When we are tempted by Satan, by our own weak flesh, just to quit, to be quiet, to stop praying, stop bothering, do we pray all the louder? So we see his great and persistent faith in this blind man. And also in this story, we see great humility by Bartimaeus. I love this about him. What did he ask Jesus, the son of David, to do for him? He just said, show mercy. Have mercy. Mercy implies humility. Because Bartimaeus didn't come and just say, Lord, you owe me. I'm suffering. Maybe he's been blind his whole life. I'm suffering. It's been hard. I'm impoverished. I have to beg. You owe me something. God, heaven owes me something. No entitlement attitude here. Not an I deserve this attitude. Not I'm good enough. Look at all that I've done. He just pleaded for mercy. He knew his lowly position before God, and he cried out with the only words that fit, help me, I can't get out, I'm stuck. Then in verse 49, we see more about Jesus, and overall, you can imagine a large crowd, it's noisy, perhaps they're all surrounding Jesus walking down the road. It's noisy, a lot of confusion. And over all this noise, Jesus hears this loud and persistent man. And so he says, call him to me. Bring him over here. And I love this moment. Seeing the Lord Jesus' care for one more person. You know, we're at the end of his earthly ministry, and we've seen every week, some of you may be getting bored, like, oh, it's just another miracle. It's like, well, it wasn't to Bartimaeus. But remember, Jesus is only 7 days away from the darkest horrors of the cross, carrying the horrific, shameful weight of the world's sin, my sin, your sin, upon his shoulders. Any of us would be utterly overwhelmed, anxious, distracted. And we really don't want to hear one more voice, one more need. Everyone wants Jesus' attention. If it was me, I would just think, man, I can't take anymore. I'm spent. I got something coming up in a couple of days. I've got too much. I'm too busy. He's just a lowly man on the side of the road. I got other things to do. But Jesus's compassion is so great. And his care is so pure that he stops and calls this man to him. So the people there hear that Jesus is calling him. So they say these beautiful words to Bartimaeus. I love this. They say, have courage, get up. He's calling for you. We don't know if these are the same people who told him to shut up. If so, they're pretty hypocritical. But someone told him, have courage, get up. He's calling for you. This well-known, controversial, famous, busy Jesus is calling this nobody to him. I mean, today, in our day, busy and famous people, they just don't. People clamor for their attention. Everyone wants something from the famous. I've been praying for this one statement here that the crowd said to Bartimaeus, I've been praying that this would strike our hearts this morning. Some of us in this room, even this morning, might be in a world of trouble, not unlike Bartimaeus. Yeah, we're not physically blind, maybe not begging on the streets, but we have our own pain, our own challenges, physical, emotional, spiritual, relational. I have my own set of consuming thoughts at times. We all do. But on Wednesday morning, I was reading this passage multiple times and just reflecting on it. And the crowd's words here to Bartimaeus just jumped off the page and struck my heart. Have courage. Get up. Jesus is calling to you. Some of us may need to hear those words this morning. Have courage, get up. Jesus is calling to you. Have courage, get up.
he's calling to. What words of hope, what beautiful words of invitation from the holy creator, savior of this world. He invites you, he commands you to come to him. Well, Bartimaeus now has been heard by Jesus. His cries, his prayers have been answered. And he needs no more persuasion. Look at what he says. His response in verse 50, he just threw off his coat, jumped up, and went to Jesus. His coat might have been one of his only possessions in the world. But he wanted nothing to encumber him as he approached Jesus. And then in verse 51, in spite of the pressures Jesus is facing, he shows genuine care for this lonely, poor, marginalized man. And I think Jesus' words here might be the most beautiful words you will ever hear when you're hungry for heaven's help. And he just says simply to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Have we ever considered Jesus speaking to us like that, with a tender heart, with all the power of heaven, to ask us, what do you want me to do for you? What sweet, hope-filled, life-giving words. And Bartimaeus has one heartfelt, simple request. He says, Rabboni, Master, I want to see. I just want to see. He didn't need flowery language. He didn't need many words. He didn't have to have some well-articulated flowery prayer. He didn't even have all the boxes checked on some government form. And if you don't fill it out right, you don't get it. He just asked his desperate, heartfelt need. I just want to see. And then in verse 52, our hearts should be softened when we see the results. Jesus said, go, your faith has saved you. And Bartimaeus got up and followed him. You know, what's interesting here is, I mean, one is the obvious thing is Bartimaeus instantly could see. I mean, I don't know if he had been blind since birth. Maybe there was an accident, maybe disease. Maybe we could think God judged him and however long, it doesn't even appear in the story. What matters is that instantly Bartimaeus could see. He's set free from this physical oppression. It's just such a beautiful story. But it's even better than that. Jesus said, your faith has saved you. Bartimaeus was asking only for the physical. But Jesus gave him something much richer, much more eternal. Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah, the Son of David, the healer of broken bodies, he gave him life itself, eternal life. Your faith, Bartimaeus, has saved you. Unexpectedly, Bartimaeus got something greater than the physical eyesight. The light of the world shined down upon his darkened soul and gave him life and light that will never end. Jesus, earlier in his ministry, said in John 8, verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. And here, Jesus wasn't speaking of physical light, physical sight. He was speaking, as glorious as that would be to get that. He came into the world to bring a spiritual, eternal, heavenly light and life that will never end. The light of the world has come down. Bartimaeus got more than he bargained for. He got a better gift. Last week, we read verse 45 here in Mark chapter 10, right? The verse immediately preceding our story here this morning. Jesus said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. 7 days after our story today, Jesus does give his life as a ransom to buy back souls that had been sold into slavery, the slavery of sin and destruction and eternal judgment. He came to buy them back, to buy you back, to buy me back. And Bartimaeus got what he asked for, but something infinitely better. A spiritual sight that welled up into eternity. So in verse 52, Jesus transformed Bartimaeus from a beggar beside the road, to a disciple on the road. So here this morning, we have this, I love this story, this beautiful story, this poor blind beggar who meets a powerful, merciful Son of David, Jesus. It's important that with every passage, whether it's you're reading at home by yourself or here on a Sunday morning or any Bible study you're in, it's important that we take what it says first and then figure out, okay, how do I live this out? What can I take from this? How do I apply this to my life? The Lord didn't give us the scriptures just to entertain us, although there are parts that are certainly entertaining, but he gave us the scriptures to save us and then to change us. Let me offer a few things that I think we can take from this passage. First, like Bartimaeus, we need to admit our need. And it sounds somewhat obvious, but for some of us, that's very hard. What do I really need? What do I really need? Of course, you know, we all have our presenting needs. You know, we have physical pain, and these are all legitimate. I applaud. We should ask God for these. But these are the most obvious things. I need help with school. I need a new job. I need to get rid of this pain. Whatever it is. Those are our presenting obvious needs, and we should ask God for those and ask for his help. I do, you should. But in addition, I think there's often a less obvious but more pressing need that we have, and it's something I'll just call needs of the soul, needs within us. And they might not be as readily obvious as the physical, the external. It might just be we just feel weak inside and we need the strength from heaven. Or we just want to quit. We want to quit in life and we just need heavenly perseverance. We're grieving some loss. We need comfort from the God of all comfort. Or we're terribly anxious about life and we just need peace. We're full of guilt. We need forgiveness. We feel the weight of shame. We just need the honor of God. Such needs may not feel as obvious. For some of us, we don't ever think about those things. Others, we think about them, but we don't engage with heaven on those things. But such things are just as important, if not more urgent. We need to admit our need, and it takes wisdom from God to discern that, and then it takes a humility to admit them. We might think, oh yeah, Bartimaeus was desperate. Of course he's going to. It took a lot of guts, took a lot of humility to shout out amidst all the crowd, annoying all the people around you, not intentionally, but to be so determined, so humble that I've got to let nothing get between me and heaven. I need the help from Jesus, the Son of David. It takes humility to admit such things because it's very tempting to just want to keep such things quiet. Want to show like, hey, I got my act together. I'm kind of put together. We try to keep the facade up. Whatever the reason is, we need to be quick to admit our need, certainly to ourselves, but then to heaven and even to one another. And for some of us, we might need to spend time in reflection on what are the needs of my soul? What do I need within to know God better, to live life fuller in him? And we may need to pray something like this. Lord, I'm in this trial. I hate this trial. I can feel it. It's painful every day. It's pressing in on me. But I also want to honor you in this. I want to love you more. I want to get out of the trial, but I want to also walk with you. Help me not to waste this trial. So to the Lord, to ourselves, to one another, we need to admit our needs in humility and honesty. Second, we need to believe fundamentally that Jesus is both powerful, he's strong, he's mighty, and he's caring, he's compassionate, he's merciful. I suspect most of us would readily admit that. We'd all go, well, yeah, of course. You could quote Bible verses to me. You could find them where Jesus, you see the Lord's power, his magnificence, and you see his kindness and his tenderness. But it's in time of testing where what we say we believe is a little bit different than what we're actually believing at the moment, or at least it feels like there's a gap between the two. My stated theology and my practical theology, my theology of the moment. We want to ask ourselves, especially in the heat of trials, am I really believing in the fullness of Christ? Sometimes for me, it's like, yeah, I'm kind of believing, but I'm also kind of doubting. I can find myself asking, wondering, is God going to come through? Does he care about me? Has he forgotten me? Is he too busy for me? Does he like to make me suffer? I have actually wondered such things. And over the years, dozens, if not hundreds of times, I've prayed like the father of the demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 9, verse 24, where the father cries out to Jesus, I do believe, help my unbelief. I love that prayer. It's so honest. I'm believing, but I'm struggling. Help me. Make this your first prayer, that we would fight the good fight of faith and believe that God is powerful, strong, mighty, and that he cares intensely for us. Third, we can learn from Bartimaeus to simply ask for mercy. Keyword, mercy. We ask God to show compassion on us. We don't come before God demanding that he do something. I've done that before in prayer, and I've had the Lord rebuke me a few times in my soul. We don't come with an entitlement like, Lord, you owe me. Look at what I've done. Look at all I've accomplished. We come for mercy, and I'll just tell you, mercy is so much better than entitlement. Mercy is so much better than trying to earn God's help. What a pressure. What a weight. Try to perform. I've got to be better. I can't ask God until I get my act together, until I do more, until I attain some level of righteousness before I can come before him. That's not mercy. That's self-righteousness. We come empty-handed, impoverished in our souls, and we just say, God, I know I don't deserve it. I know I've failed. I know I've been weak. I know I've been doubting, but would you help me? And a merciful God allows us, actually he invites us, even commands us to come to him now. And like Bartimaeus, we just keep asking. We won't stop. I like King David. Back in the Psalms, he wrote in Psalm 55, one of dozens of his examples of his calls for mercy and his persistence in this. He just said, Psalm 55, verse 16, I call to God and the Lord will save me. I complain and groan morning, noon, and night, and he hears my voice. Oh, may the Lord give us that kind of persistence in calling on the compassion of God. And last, I think it's good if we embrace the words that the crowd told Bartimaeus. Have courage, get up. Jesus is calling you. We've been knocked down, we've been beaten around, we've got the busyness of life, all the distractions. I think the Lord, he's just saying, don't lose heart. Have courage, get up. I'm calling you. Come to me. It takes courage. It takes a boldness to come before God in our brokenness. And a verse I share often on Sundays in these sermons, because I think of it often, is Hebrews 4. Let us draw near with what? Timidity? Cowardice? No, with confidence. To the throne of works, the throne of trying to do more. No, the throne of grace. It's God's throne. It's a throne of grace to receive mercy. There's that word again. To receive mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. Oh, man, those are like cold water to a thirsty soul. Let us have courage, get up, throw off our cloaks, and run to Jesus, who loves us, cares for us so much. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for giving us stories like this one today. We can see here your heart. We see your heart so clearly, your power, your care, your attention, your tenderness. Would you help us this morning and in the days ahead simply to look heavenward, to get our eyes up? Our heads sometimes can be bowed down with all the pressures and distractions and worries and the cares. Help us to look up to heaven, to know you better, month by month, year by year, to love you more. That our confidence in you, our faith in you would grow. That we would find the grace to not give up, to not turn aside, but to keep coming back, keep persisting, keep asking heaven to help us. And we look to you this morning, the light of the world who shined the light of heaven into our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.